All right, Friday night, and we are live. Hope everybody's doing good. As always, be blessed in the mighty name of Jesus. Let me say hey to everybody in the Rumble chat. We have got a lot to get to tonight. J6, James Comey, a little Mark of the Beast stuff from overseas. We got to look at it all tonight. We got to get to it. All right, Mike Griffith is on. JGCK is on. Robin Aroney's on. Gloyd Shaw is on. Peg McGroin is on. PD Frank is on. Greg Nine Mon is on. Alligator Alcatraz is on. Auntie Mama is on. D9597 is on. Jules 21 Hours is on. 1961 Kid is on. Sherry Gilbert is on. Todd Suff is on. Hugo is on. One Fast Rob is on. Only Jesus Knows All is on. Arcadia Angel is on. Bud Dave is on. Granite 2468 is on. B Haven is on. Sexy Pony's on. Keeper 1376 is on. Sheila K is on. Veronica 18201 is on. Supergirl 21 is on. Big Jim Go Blue is on. Mark 1069 is on. Spaz 64 is on. Wisconsin Honey Badger is on. Let me see here. Scrolling down. Uncle Wally is on. Richard Perry is on. Big Scott 1 is on. K4 VMS is on. All right. I've screwed up the chat. Let me fix it. There we go. All right. Scrolling down. Jules 21 Hours is on. Let me see who else I got here. Luann 5 is on. Let me grab a couple more here. Scrolling down here. Let me see here. Jeannie Mel Feezy is on. Confederate 1 is on. Luann 5 is on. Love you guys. Appreciate each and every one of you. Okay, Comey is indicted. You have basically the obstruction of Congress charge, lying to Congress charges. So Comey is now. Trump has done what nobody else has ever done for the first time in the history of the United States. In the history of the United States, an FBI director has been indicted. So for everybody who's black-pilled, don't be black-pilled. You can flirt with being black-pilled. Keep black pill on the horizon, but don't be black-pilled because Trump is doing things that have never been done. Cash Patel is doing things that have never been done. Now, listen, and everybody knows, you just have to admit what you said. Either apologize for it or own it. But I was calling for Pat Cash Patel to be fired and Bongino. So, I mean, but Cash Patel has released this J6 information. That all came with the 275, now we know, 275, not FBI assets, folks. Not FBI assets. It's 275 FBI agents were in the J6 crowd. That's agents. Now, if you go ahead and just use the Gretchen Whitless kidnapping hoax as an example, 12 out of the 18 co-conspirators in that case, and out of the six that were remaining, three have been exonerated. Three were convicted of attempting to kidnap Wretched Witless. Who in the world would ever want to spend 30 minutes with her? But anyway, 12 out of the 18 co-conspirators in that alleged plot were FBI agents. And then again, you have three left out of those three. I mean, you have six left out of that six. Three were exonerated. So three people are still rotting in prison for a case that was fully and completely instigated by the Federal Bureau of Investigation, the FBI. So, but just think of that and apply this to J6, because there you had like six FBI agents and then six assets, or what you would call CIs, confidential informants. So how many people were actually FBI agents and assets in the crowd? My opinion, 1,000. 1,000. Then add the State Department, the DHS, whether it's Capitol Hill Police or Metro DC Police under Muriel Bowser, how many of those assets were in the crowd? So you're looking at somewhere between, really, in my opinion, strongly my opinion, 1,000 to 2,000 government assets in the crowd stirring it up. I will venture to say now, again, I'm not exonerating people of doing things stupid. I am exonerating people of doing things that were serious felonies. There may have been somebody who did something, battered a police officer that wasn't one of these assets. But we saw the videos where you would have a guy that was detained, got his hands cuffed behind his back. They bring him into a back room. Everything's on video. And then they release him and high five each other. Those were FBI agents. Okay. They're being released by Capitol Hill Police. So how many, I'm always saying, are there really any billionaires now? I mean, really, because now what we're learning about billionaires is that really what they are products of NGOs. Given money by you and I. And I don't have time to get into that right now. I mean, I could spend a whole show on NGOs. But anyway, now what we're having to look at is, was there really anything done outside of low-grade misdemeanors by J6 protesters? Was there? Or was everything instigated by my opinion, I know it's 275. Just think of that, though. 275 FBI agents in the crowd. FBI agents in the crowd. How many assets do they have? They could have 10 assets each in the crowd. And then, of course, the NGO assets. You know, the Ray Epps types. Oh, he was never. Don't worry. I mean, he was never an FBI asset. He was never an FBI agent. Well, we never said he was an FBI agent. Well, he was never even attached to the FBI. No, he's attached to the NGO funded by the FBI. That's the games. Everything is a freaking lie. Everything's a lie. But let's start with Comey first, because it's all FBI stuff. We're going to do Comey first, and then we're going to go to J6. And I got to keep my mouth shut. It's good. It's 9:10. It's not too bad. So got to keep my mouth shut, because we've got to get to all this stuff. Vince Langman video. It's a long video, but it just sets the precedent, because this is the interview that James Comey did with Chris Wallace, and it just sets the precedence of his lying ways. So Vince Langman video, in case you forgot, play it for me.
I know I don't see the disconnect between the two of us, and I'm sorry that I'm missing it.
Here are you and the Inspector General, Michael Horowitz, answering the same question.
Do you think this is vindication?
It is. I mean, the FBI's had to wait 2 years while the president and his followers lied about the institution. Finally, the truth gets told.
Does your report vindicate Mr. Comey?
It doesn't vindicate anyone at the FBI who touched this, including the leadership.
The IG says you should feel no vindication.
Well, maybe it turns upon how we understand the word. What I mean is that the FBI was accused of treason, of illegal spying, of tapping Mr. Trump's wires illegally, of opening an investigation without justification, of being a criminal conspiracy to defeat and then unseat a president. All of that was nonsense.
Here is what you said about the FISA process and what the Inspector General Horowitz said this week. Take a look.
Total confidence that the FISA process was followed and that the entire case was handled in a thoughtful, responsible way by DOJ and the FBI.
We identified significant inaccuracies and omissions in each of the four applications, 7 in the first application and a total of 17 by the final renewal application.
17 significant errors in the FISA process, and you say that it was handled in a thoughtful and appropriate way.
Yeah, he's right. I was wrong. I was overconfident in the procedures that the FBI and Justice had built over 20 years.
Again, here's your version, and again, here's the Inspector General.
My recollection was it was part of a broader mosaic of facts that were laid before the FISA judge to obtain a FISA warrant.
And we concluded that the Steele reporting played a central and essential role in the decision to seek a FISA order.
Horowitz says it wasn't part, as you told Brett Baer, it wasn't part of a broader mosaic. He said it played an essential role in establishing probable cause. In fact, he says, if it hadn't been for the Steele dossier, the FBI probably wouldn't have even submitted a FISA application. That
sure, he and I are saying different things.
Well, there's the issue of how reliable the Steele dossier, in fact, was. On January 6, 2017, in the Trump Tower, you brief Donald Trump, president-elect, about the Steele dossier. That same month, the FBI talks to Steele's main Russian contact, the main person on whom he based the dossier, who says, according to the IG report, quote, Steele misstated or exaggerated the primary subsources' statements in multiple sections of the reporting. Director Comey, not only do you fail to go back to the president-elect or president after January 20th and tell him, oh, you know that report I briefed you on? Turns out it's bunk. But the FBI goes back and renews its FISA application 3 more times. And by this point, the FBI knows that the Steele reporting is not credible. Oh, did you know all of this?
All of what?
Everything that we're talking about here. Did you know that, in fact, the Steele report was the key for probable cause? Did you know that the FBI had talked to the Russian contact and he said what Steele said he had told him was not true? Did you know this? You're the FBI director.
First, again, the report will speak for itself. I don't believe the FBI concluded that Steele's reporting was bunk after talking to a subsource. But no, I didn't. As the director, you're not kept informed on the details of an investigation. So no, in general, I didn't know what they'd learned from the subsource. I didn't know the particulars of the investigation. investigation.
But this isn't some investigation, sir. This is an investigation of the campaign of the man who is the president of the United States. Then there is, I have left for last, the worst misconduct. In August of 2016, just 2 weeks into the investigation, the CIA tells the FBI that it actually has a relationship with Carter Page, that when he has these meetings with the Russians, he actually goes back and he tells the CIA about it. But you never tell the FISA court that. And in fact, in 2017, an FBI lawyer doctors a document. The CIA said, oh, Carter Page, he's a source. And he puts in the application, he's not a source.
Yeah, I got to take issue with one of the, I'll answer the question, but one of the predications of your question, the Inspector General did not find misconduct by any FBI people. He found mistakes and negligent and oversight.
No, that's not true. In the case of Kevin Kleinsmith, he has referred it for a criminal investigation.
Right, but that's not been resolved, this business with the lawyer changing some email to a partner on the team.
I mean, you make it sound like it's not much.
It's very important.
A source to not a source is a big deal.
Remember how we got here. The FBI was accused of criminal misconduct. Remember, I was going to jail, and lots of other people were going to jail. People on this network said it over and over and over again. The Inspector General did not find misconduct by FBI personnel, did not find political bias, did not find illegal conduct. Inspector General found significant mistakes, and that is not something to sneeze at. That's really important. But the American people, especially your viewers, need to realize they were given false information about the FBI. It's honest, it is not political, it is flawed.
It's unclear what the motivations were. On the one hand, gross incompetence, negligence. On the other hand, intentionality.
Gross negligence, or they intended to do it. They intended to lie to the FISA court.
All right, so going back to front on this, you saw Horowitz there at the end. He says, okay, you have two options. And as Comey sits there and pontificates with Chris Wallace and he evades questions, just always keep in mind that we saw that if you were there for the pregame, that Comey put out when Trump was indicted in one of the various indictments, he put a great day for the rule of law. When Trump was indicted for whether it was the Mar-a-Lago case with Jack Smith, whether it was the D.C. case with Jack Smith, whether it was the Alvin Bragg case with Matthew Colangelo from the DOJ, whichever one it was, that it was a great day for the rule of law, with the raiding of Mar-a-Lago, whatever it is. It's a great day for the rule of law. All the while, when he actually goes to his device and types that in, great day for the rule of law, he knows that he himself is a perjurious entrapment liar. He knows it. He knows the entire time he set Trump up with the collusion hoax. He knows it the entire time. He knows that the entire Steele dossier was debunked. It's funny, during the interview, he goes, well, you know, I'm at the top of the food chain, you know, so nobody briefs me on anything. But they're talking about when Dan Chenkel himself, who was the subsource of the Steele dossier, that's who Steele got all of his information was, and you want to talk about Russian disinformation, was from Igor Danchenko. Steele dossier got, Christopher Steele, who was hired by Fusion GPS, who was hired by Mark Elias and Perkins Coie, who was hired by Hillary Clinton. So Igor Danchenko, the only Russian collusion going on was Hillary and the Russian Igor Danchenko. And Danchenko testified to the FBI, this is all Bart talking, I made it up. And Comey goes, I'm not sure whether or not the dossier was ever debunked, when Danchenko debunked it to his agents. And then he tells Chris Wallace, I wasn't in on all the details, but yet he can say it wasn't debunked, and then claim not knowing that it was in fact debunked. So if you had knowledge that it wasn't debunked, how in the world do you not have knowledge that it was in fact debunked? It makes absolutely no sense whatsoever. So the only two choices that Horowitz gives you and I when it comes to the FBI's handling of the collusion hoax is gross negligence or criminal intentionality. Those are our two choices. So in other words, political actors inside of the DOJ / FBI or absolutely nincompoop incompetence, gross negligence. That's your two choices. And Comey says that this report, the Horowitz report, exonerated him. So let's just go over, I just can't resist this stuff. So you have the Steele dossier comes out, And Comey loves to tell the story. He's on Colbert telling the story. He's with Nicole Wallace telling the story. He loves to tell the story about how he went in and briefed Donald Trump about the Russian pee-pee hoax. Donald Trump was never in the Ritz-Carlton Moscow. He never hired any prostitutes. And by the way, Comey knows it the whole time. So disgusting of a human being is. And I get, you know what? If you're going to be a lying, perjurous scoundrel, then you probably ought to be like Christopher Wray. Get credit to him. He's disappeared. He's in the wind. You're not hearing one word about him, but Comey goes out and does the 8647 thing, is where a myriad of interviews throughout the years of the Biden administration and even the last half of the first Trump administration, just going out and typing, good day for the rule of law, Trump deserves what he's getting, here's how you can accommodate Trump in prison. He did all those things, all the while knowing that he's the one who made up the entire collusion hoax. He's part of that, making up the entire thing, knew the entire time he was briefed with, Joe Biden, with Hussein Obama, with John Brennan, with Susan Rice in the Oval Office. And he was told that this was all made up by Hillary Clinton hiring Perkins Coie, Mark Elias, hiring Fusion GPS, hiring Christopher Steele, hiring Igor Danchenko. Knows that the entire time, but then investigates a crime that he knew never existed. So how do you get past that? As a human being, how do you get past that? You and I would all be, we'd all be like, okay, this thing doesn't exist. You know, that's Hillary's business, whatever. We're all going to move on. Matter of fact, we need to actually turn our prosecutorial eyes towards Hillary for making this up. But no, what they do is investigate a crime that they knew didn't exist and then use the false information that they gathered while they were investigating a crime they knew didn't exist to then prosecute Trump for a crime that didn't exist. Or obstructing their investigation into a crime that didn't exist. That's exactly what happened. So he goes and briefs Trump at Trump Tower about this pee-pee hoax, and Trump is highly pissed off about it. Then he finds out, that's where I got the earlier story, that it was in fact debunked. He says, well, that, you know, that information didn't reach. I'm not certain that the FBI determined that it was debunked. So he knows that it wasn't debunked, but he doesn't know the official FBI paperwork says that it was in fact debunked. So how do you know one thing but not the other when they're not, when you're either kept in the loop or you're not? Anyway, so it was debunked completely and totally. No, there's no hookers. Trump was never even in the hotel, was never even in Moscow during that time, ever. It was just made up whole cloth. And he knows it and then uses it to open a FISA investigation. This is these people. I mean, you're like, you mean they're opening up an investigation based on a completely and totally false premise? Yes. Everything's false. Everything is. Everything. And Trump's going after him. So they find out that the Steele dossier was completely debunked. The PB hoax completely debunked. Did he go back and tell Trump? No. He used it to open up FISA investigation and get FISA warrants and did, in fact, tap the wires at Trump Tower. How did that happen? Well, that happened via the one-hop rule, via Carter Page. How did Carter Page come into the scene? How did Carter Page end up being a part of this entire hoax? Well, Carter Page, the CIA asset, part of low-ranking staffer for the Trump campaign, was in fact a publicly proclaimed, by publicly complained, I mean within intel circles, he had publicly reported to the CIA his movements because he was a CIA asset. CIA asset, met with Russian officials, reported back to the CIA. Completely innocent, right, Aaron?
Yep.
Completely innocent, right? So, but they got to have access to Trump. Why would they want access to Trump? They want access to Trump based on a false premise. You're like, well, why would they want access to him if he never committed the crimes they're alleging that he committed? Because they just wanted to either find something to accuse him of or just monitor him so that they could maybe institute Article 25, whatever it may be, and get him out of office, because they were already planning that with Mike Pence. He had Rod Rosenstein, volunteer interim director of the CIA, volunteer to wear a wire to go in and try to do that. So anyway, there's a 25th Amendment, Article 25 or 25th Amendment. But anyway, 25th Amendment, yep. Over to remove the president. So anyway, so Carter Page, CIA asset. So the FBI sends an email. This is all where Kevin Kleinsmith comes in. Sends an email to the FBI, to the CIA, saying, "Hey, is Carter Page your asset?" The CIA sends back. Y-E-S. Could that be clear, Aaron? Nope. I mean, that's about as clear as it can get. Yes, Carter Page is an asset. Kevin Kleinsmith changes the email to no, he isn't. from yes, he is to no, he isn't. That's an absolute fact, everything that I just told you. Kevin Kleinsmith was tried and convicted of doing that. And now he immediately got his bar back and is now a fully practicing lawyer again. You and I would be in federal prison for the rest of our lives. Because he's a Democrat in the Democratic Party jurisdiction, blue judge, blue jury. And how does Comey characterize what Kevin Kleinsmith did? He changed some email, Aaron.
Oh.
He changed some email. That's how Comey characterizes what Kevin Kleinsmith did. And a myriad of other things. I can't get any more into the dossier because then, I mean, the Steele dossier and the Kluge notes. All right, so let's move on to today's stuff. So I just wanted to set up what a liar he is, because all of this stuff, of course, is all linked together. As you have Comey, you know, lying to Congress, perjuring himself, Real America's Voice video, James Comey's inner circle, this is John Solomon, turning on him. Play for me.
The truth of the matter is the people that say that James Comey is lying is his inner circle team. It was Andy McCabe who said it first. It was James Baker that affirmed it in an interview with the Postal Inspection Service that we broke on your show a few weeks ago. And in that case, remember what James Baker said to the government. He said that James Comey authorized me to leak classified information to the news media, to his chief of staff, James Rubicki. And then we don't know yet what Rubicki's account is, but I suspect those three men are going to be the main state's witnesses against James Comey. It's not going to be a MAGA lawyer. It's not going to be a MAGA talk show host. It's going to be his own inner circle saying, yeah, he authorized us to leak, and yeah, he lied to Congress. So James Comey's going to face justice probably at the expense of his own inner circle, who couldn't lie when confronted about what he had done with the leaking to the media. The Taylor Swift thing, I have a little bit different take. I do find it extremely weird to have an FBI director talking about being a Swiftie, but hey, everyone's entitled to their music. But I think there's something more cunning going on. I think you have to always calculate James Comey as being a calculating guy. He's going to need to raise a lot of money for his legal defense fund. He's about to undergo a really significant legal defense expense. I think he was setting up millennials and others to say, see me as a victim. I'm like one of you guys, and he doesn't like Taylor Swift. I think he's looking to hit that generation, the millennial generation, for donations for a legal defense fund down the road. That may have been a calculated decision. He knew what was coming over the horizon, and he knows he's going to have to raise some money for his defense. And I think there's something a little bit more calculating in that than just being flat out weird.
All right. So it appears, I'm getting the names here, that the people that are turning in James Comey for his charges, for there, and just let me make sure I got them right. One count of giving a false statement to Congress, one count of obstruction of Congress. The people that appear to be turning him in are McCabe, Baker, and maybe more, which could be Rod Rosenstein also. So those are the people that are actually turning him in. Like we've always saying on the podcast, put them under oath and they will rat each other out, because they're certainly not going to go to prison for their left hard bros. That's not going to happen. Comey's cooked. Now, the only question about guilt or innocence when it comes to Comey officially is what kind of jury are we going to get in the D.C. circuit? That's really the only question. If the prosecutor's right, and we get lucky, we have a shot. But no matter what, the man is absolutely guilty. He's caught under oath lying. It's absolutely true. So there's no way around it. Letitia James is cooked. Schiff is cooked. Now, the great thing about Letitia James is her case will be in Virginia. Schiff's case will be in Maryland, I believe. So at least you have a shot. D.C., rough. It's rough. But so if he gets exonerated, you're all here that he was exonerated, which means as much as Trump's a convicted felon, because it all depends on who the judge is, because that's how corrupt our system is. It's not a matter of guilt or innocence. It's a matter of who the judge is and who the jury is and who the prosecutors are, whether you're in a blue jury, a blue jurisdiction, or a red jurisdiction. All right, so it appears his insiders are the ones that are actually turning him in. All right, so where am I at, guys? Am I at Myrna X? Myrna X, yep. Okay, Myrna X video. Just want to remind you of some of the hideous things that Comey did. Here's Myrna X video. We should all now agree why Comey posted his 8647 shell finding. Play for him.
Beach, what happened? You're walking on the beach, and you saw this on the beach?
Yeah, my wife and I, Patrice, were walking on the beach and saw those numbers in shells on the beach. And
you didn't do this. Somebody else did this.
Yeah, somebody else did it. We were on a walk preparing for this week, the rollout of my book.
Yep.
She looked at it and said, why'd someone put their address in the sand?
All right.
And then we stood at it, looked at it, trying to figure out what it was. And she'd long been a server in restaurants. And she said, you know what I think it is?
Yeah.
I think it's a reference to restaurants when you would 86 something in a restaurant.
Right, it's off the menu.
Yeah. I said, no, I remember when I was a kid, you'd say 86 to get out of a place. This place stinks, let's 86 it.
Right. I was a bartender. You would 86 a customer if they were getting drunk. Like, let's 86 them. Let's, like, give them a low proof alcohol or something like that. Yeah.
And so I said, I think it's a clever political message. And she said, you should take a picture of it. I said, sure. And then she said, you should Instagram that. And boom.
Well.
Can you imagine being a human being like James Comey? Let's break this down as Brett and Aaron and I did as we were watching the video. So you have this 6'6" monster idiot walking down the beach with his wife. And not only is he a liar, and everybody hears he say that's because that's who the Democratic Party is. He's a liar who lies and then lies about his lies. You know, his wife says, let's take a picture of it. He says, okay, let's put it on Instagram. He says, okay, that's how he talks. Again, a neutered cuckboy male. It's another effeminate male. So anyway, so he does all those things. Now, imagine you are the ex-FBI director. Imagine Aaron Brandt, everybody watching. Imagine the freaking odds that you're walking down the beach and the only 8647 credit Aaron Yeager in the world you walk uponst.
It's weird.
Imagine that. I mean, the odds of that are just astronomical. That you happen upon an 8647, which means to kill your political opponent. And then Colbert backs up because he is a spineless, conscienceless, political shill worm that he is. So he's backing it all. Oh yeah, 8647 means to stop somebody from drinking at a bar. No, it doesn't, you moron. That's called cutting them off, you dumb idiot. Nobody's ever said 86 the guy. That means to actually eliminate something. That's what it means. Yeah. I worked at a restaurant. I know 86 is a restaurant term, which means to eliminate that product.
Yes.
Take it off the menu. That's what it means. So you're going to 86 the guy at the bar, Colbert. Again, these multi-millionaires. And Colbert makes all of his money, I guarantee it, through our NGOs. I guarantee it.
Oh, yeah.
Guarantee it. So anyway, so Comey stumbles across the only 8647 that's ever been made anywhere on any beach ever. And it wasn't made by him. It was already there. And they stumble across it at the beach on that exact day, at that exact moment.
Of course.
In a giant beach with billions of acres of property. And he happens to find it. This is the guy that makes decisions about. There are people right now, I guarantee you, that are completely innocent, rotting in prison for the rest of his life as he sleeps like a baby at night, that he falsely accused of crimes that don't even exist. We all know that that is blanketly true, right?
Yep.
There are literally people in prison right now, languishing in prison for the rest of their lives under false accusations by James Comey. As he sleeps like a baby tonight. That's how evil these people are. That's what we're dealing with. All right, Roger Stone video. What I just revealed. Play for me.
So the U.S. attorney who was fired by Donald Trump in the Eastern District of Virginia, Eric Siebert, prepared a 51-page memo arguing that former FBI Director James Comey should not be indicted for lying to Congress under oath. What he didn't include in his memo is the fact that Siebert has a stunning conflict of interest. You see, his father-in-law, the father of his wife, is the godfather to James Comey's daughter. You can't make this stuff up.
So you see how you have all these incestuous relationships going on because you had Eric Siebert fired and all the Democrats. How dare he do it? It was a Trump appointee. You know, the threat to our democracy, the DOJ has weaponized. But the father of his wife is godfather to James Comey's daughter's kid. They're intertwined in very close familiar relationships with the Comeys. They have a godfather relationship with the Comeys. And Siebert does a 51-page memo about why it is that he can't prosecute James Comey. Is it because your wife's father is godfather to James Comey's daughter's kid? Is that why? So you all hang out together. Obviously, if you're going to be somebody's godfather, you're obviously going to be very close to that person because you're trusting that person that if you die, they take over your kid. They take your kid, right? I mean, come on, or at least have you are going to be the one who raises them in a religion, some sort of, can you imagine whatever religion that is? That their godfather, Satan, the synagogue of Satan, that's what you shouldn't be called godfather, you should be called Satan father. So this is the guy who makes unbiased decisions? No, he was a guy that was working on the behalf of the Comeys, and he was fired and put a 51-page memo out stating why he couldn't prosecute James Comey, but conveniently left out that he has a familiar relationship with him. Very strange, isn't it? Because they all know each other, because everybody needs to understand there is a giant, and it includes all Republicans. Oh, how dare you say that, Tom? Aren't you a registered Republican? Yes. Always have been. Always vote Republican. Always probably will vote Republican. But it includes all Republicans because they're fake, with the exceptions of the Marjorie Taylor Greens, the Anna Paluna Lunas, the Thomas Massies, the Donald Trumps. They're real conservatives, and actually honest people who will lose their jobs for the sake of their values. That does. Now, then, of course, you have all the McConnells of the world, the Mitt Romneys of the world, the Lindsey Grahams of the world, and John Cornyns of the world, and John Thunes of the world, that are fake, absolutely fake, and vote with Democrats more than half of the time. That's fake. This is a giant circle bleep, symbiote, incestuous family in D.C. who rules over us, who thinks they know better than us, and we're $37 trillion in debt. That's who these people are. Understand that, and that's why Trump fired his rear end. He fired him because he is in an incestuous relationship with the person he's supposed to be investigating and never revealed that to anybody until Roger Stone found out about it. Very strange, isn't it? That his wife's father is godfather to one of Comey's kids' kids. Weird, isn't it? It's kind of familiar. That familiar word comes out where, you know, Juan Merchan should have done it because his daughter was profiting off of the trial in D.C. I mean, in New York that he was overseeing. He should have done the recusal. He should have recused himself. When Siebert knows that he has a familiar relationship with the Comeys, you have to recuse yourself. But he didn't. Instead, he doesn't recuse himself. He exonerates the person, wrongly exonerates the person he has a familiar relationship with. Which is, by the way, criminal and fraudulent and a felonious crime. There you go. And Eric Siebert needs to be prosecuted. Bring them all up. Bring them all up on charges. Put them under oath. All right, on to the next one. May's video, just more reminders of who Comey is. Here's Comey 2024. Play for me.
So a lot of people have suggested that there are a range of factors that would make it difficult to put a former, the system has not been tested in this way. Do you agree with that, that it would be difficult or nearly impossible for the law enforcement institutions to put him in actual jail?
No, they would just put him in a double wide somewhere out near the fence, out in the grass. And he would eat there, he'd shower there, he'd exercise there, he'd be away, as Danya Perry said, from general population, but it's obviously doable.
This smug, self-righteous buffoon is not a very intelligent person. He's really not. But he's actually telling Jen Circleback Psaki how it is that you can actually jail Donald Trump, all the while knowing the reason why he would be jailed is from crimes that he didn't commit that James Comey made up the whole time while he's sitting there. You're like, Tom, are people really that evil? Yes, I guess they are. I mean, I'm saying that to be sort of like, you know, just to reveal it to people, but of course they are. They are that evil. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Jeremiah 17:9. That is the way that it is. This man is desperately wicked. He knows that Donald Trump is going to spend the rest of his life in prison for crimes that he never committed, for crimes that don't even exist, that he's being falsely accused of. So get that. You want to talk about mosaics. Being falsely accused of crimes, being falsely accused and convicted of crimes that don't exist that you didn't commit. Because they don't exist to commit. And this former FBI director, this man of integrity, that all these Democrats respect, and oh, I wish we had him instead of Cash Patel. And the weaponization of the DOJ under Donald Trump, he was the ultimate weaponizer of the DOJ, a shill for the Democratic Party from day one. Oh, well, what about the few days before the election? When he revealed the Hillary Clinton emails on the Wiener laptops, because he had to, it was coming out. That's self-preservation. And it actually worked because Trump didn't fire him. He'll do anything. He's a whore. Bent over, butt cheek grabbing whore. That's who he is. Here's May's video. Here's Comey in 2018. Play for me.
You went in January of 2017 to tell President Trump about the Steele dossier. How did you tell him that there was a, and I want to put this delicately, pee-pee tape? How did you tell him about that rumor?
I spoke about information
unverified, that related to an allegation that he was with prostitutes in a hotel in Moscow and that the Russians had videotaped it. I didn't go into the rest of it. I thought that was notice enough.
Uh-huh. And
I
was... So you didn't mention the salacious detail of the two prostitutes getting up on the bed that the Obamas had stayed in because it was the presidential suite engaging in some water play. You didn't mention that at all.
I thought I'd served enough notice without going to that part.
Okay. And what did he say when you told him about this?
He denied it. He interrupted me and denied it in pretty strong terms and asked, I assumed rhetorically, whether he looked like a guy who needed the services of hookers. And then.
Okay. All right. Let's keep on going. Just so you know, the people out there know, I actually went to that room. I stayed at the Ritz-Carlton, Moscow. I went to that room. We rented that room, which is really all you need to do. Now, you're an investigator. Did anyone from your office ever go to that hotel and look at that room?
Not while I was director.
Okay. I don't know anyone from the press who went, you're an investigator. Would you like to ask me anything about that room? Ask me anything about that room.
Is it big enough for a germaphobe to be at a safe distance from the activity?
The bedroom is very long. It's very long. You could definitely be out of what we call at SeaWorld the splash zone. Okay? All right?
And Aaron put the point of this out, his smug little I'm above this, so I'm not going to laugh demeanor that he poses for everybody. All the while knowing, he knew in that interview that this story was completely made up by Igor Danchenko. He knew it. He knew it was completely made up. He knew it. He knew Trump was never in Moscow. He knew Trump never, ever employed any hookers. He knew Trump was never in that room. And just look at the mosaic, what was the picture that was painted, the story that was made up by Democrats. We're going to say that Trump rented the room that Obama was in because he wants to besmirch the greatest president of all time, Barack Hussein Obama, because Trump could never live up to Barack Obama, even though the man never accomplished anything, but launching us into another $11 trillion worth of debt. And really causing all the race problems. But anyway, so all the while, Comey knows while they're talking about it, and he just, in a demonically ingenuous way, not disingenuous, and he seems sort of ingenuous. He seems like, you know what, I'm being honest and forthright as he tells the story. And he won't laugh at any Colbert's jokes because that would be demeaning his office. Demeaning the office, you're sitting there proffering lies. You know their lies. You know that never happened. You know it the entire time you're sitting there. And all of you that are watching, there's 1,600 people that are watching right now, you could never pull this off. Either could I. I couldn't just sit there like that. I mean, I think Comey is so pathological that he possibly could pass a polygraph. He really is. He is really that much of a pathological liar that he could possibly, he's a George Costanza that could possibly pass a polygraph. It's not really a lie if you believe it. Remember Costanza from Seinfeld? That's what he said. All right, so more on this. Benny Johnson tweet. So Troy Edwards, did anybody even know these people were employed by the DOJ under Donald J. Trump? Troy Edwards, James Comey's son-in-law, married to Maureen Comey, who purposely sabotaged the Sean Combs case so that they could cover up for CIA malfeasance. And she's been the one in charge of all the Epstein cases. And the judges over the Epstein cases refused to release the transcripts from the trial. That's weird, isn't it? And then Trump gets blamed for not releasing the Epstein files. That's weird. And to a degree, he won't release some of that. I understand that. But they have also gone after the real transcripts, which are where you have witness testimony and evidence released and paperwork and videos at these trials. Because those were the trials for the victims. That's strange. And Maureen Comey oversaw all of them. And now we can't get the transcripts of any of them because of the collaborating Biden and Obama nominated judges. So when people talk about the release of the Epstein files, I get it. I'm still waiting for the flight logs. And I know that Trump is part and parcel with a partial cover up of the Epstein files having nothing to do with himself. He never diddled any kids. That's on the record. It's absolutely true. Never had any interest in it. But he's trying to cover for somebody. In my opinion, he's covering for Israel and Mossad as well as the CIA. That's who he's covering for. I don't know why, because those people will absolutely try to kill him or sabotage his entire political career and this administration, which they're currently trying to sabotage it, which is why he came out and said, I will not allow Israel to take the West Bank. I'm not allowing it. Because he's fed up with it. He's fed up with the saboteurs inside of Mossad. Oh, Tom, we've discovered that Tom's anti-Israel. No, I'm exactly the same way towards the CIA. Exactly the same way towards the CIA. All right, but anyway, Troy Edwards, James Comey's son-in-law, steps down from the U.S. Attorney's Office in Eastern Virginia immediately following Comey's indictment. Oh, but don't worry. These are all unbiased people that decide whether people go to prison for the rest of their lives or not. These are the politically unbiased people. James Comey's son-in-law actually makes decisions about whether to criminally charge people or not. But don't worry, Aaron. As soon as they put on their judicial robes,
yes,
figuratively here, because not a judge, he's an attorney, they become unbiased.
Of course.
I mean, you, Aaron, be quiet. You just have to trust it.
Okay.
Shut up. Shut up and trust it.
Yeah.
I mean, no matter what. I mean, you have Alex Jones that goes to two civil trials. They bankrupt him, put him into $1.4 billion worth of debt. And the judges had already concluded prior to the trial that he was guilty and wouldn't allow him to put on defense. Same thing happened with Navarro. Same thing happened with Bannon. And they talk about the weaponization of the DOJ when you have Mar-a-Lago raided, Peter Navarro arrested, tried, convicted, Bannon arrested, tried, convicted, Rudy Giuliani's home raided, Mar-a-Lago raided, Trump arrested in four different jurisdictions, tried. And a couple in New York found guilty of 34 felony counts that don't exist. And you talk about the weapon. Imagine having the audacity to walk up to any podium as a Democrat in 2025 and talk about the weaponization of the DOJ currently, when the only thing that's happened so far is one indictment of James Comey. And we have their record of the last 4 years under the Biden administration. Go to the next one for me, Brent. Nature lover tweet. Here's another one. Lucas Zacharoff is married to Maureen Comey. So the first one wasn't married to Maureen Comey. That was married to his other daughter. Because James Comey has a couple of daughters. Oh, it's all explained at the bottom. Making him one of James Comey's son-in-laws. He was assistant U.S. attorney and resigned from his role also in May of 2025, a few months ago. And Troy Edwards resigned today. Is also son-in-law of James Comey, married to another of Comey's daughters, Kate Comey. And was the federal prosecutor resigned from the DOJ on September 25th? What's the date today, Aaron?
26.
So he resigned yesterday. There you go. Didn't you know all these people, these unbiased relatives via marriage, and not only relatives via marriage, but his own daughter, Maureen Comey. Somehow Maureen Comey, the odds are just astronomical. Caught every single Epstein case. You know the odds of that? Zero. The odds of that are the same as you walking down a beach and seeing an 8647 on the beach made out of shells by somebody else.
Yeah.
Those are the odds of her catching all these cases. All right, let's go to the next one. More from James Comey. I just want to remind everybody what a rat turd this guy actually is. And wokeness video, convict him, bar him from office. Play it for me.
Convict him, bar him from future service, have the prosecutors, the local prosecutors in New York, pursue him for the fraudster that he was before he ever became president, lock him up for the garden variety frauds he did there, but don't give him that center stage, that dominant role in our national life, just down the street where Joe Biden is trying to heal this.
You know what you do if you yourself are a fraudster? You don't campaign against people who are not fraudsters. That's what you don't do. And people are finding out about that. If you yourself get this, Aaron, get this, Brent, get this to 2,100 people that are watching right now. If you yourself are guilty of mortgage fraud, you know what you don't do if you're Letitia James? Try Donald Trump civilly for mortgage fraud.
Yeah.
Because here's the thing. There is whether they, I know Big Fat Tish loves to misquote scripture, and not even, she doesn't misquote it. She actually literally doesn't put it out of context, actually misquotes the entire thing. As she has no idea what's going on. Probably a big fat barrier inside of her brain. Somehow her butt gets in the way of her brain because her butt gets bigger and bigger and bigger by the day.
Big Tish.
Big Tish. Gotta love Big Tish. But anyway, so what you don't do if you're Big Tish and you know that you're a mortgage fraudster yourself, I mean 30, 40 times over multiple properties, then you don't go and falsely accuse Donald Trump. Why? Because Yahweh is watching. And people may not believe it. It doesn't matter. This podcast is all about the merging of politics and the Bible and seeing how they fit in together. Because be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man sows, that shall also reap. If you're going to sow false accusations into the ground, you yourself are going to be found guilty of that which you are fraudulently accusing other people of. You're going to be found guilty of those offenses. Because God will make sure. God's not mocked. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man sows, that shall he also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will have the flesh reap corruption. He who sows to the Holy Spirit will have the Spirit reap everlasting life. And that's just the way that it is. And a nice little verse that follows us. Let us not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And Trump has fainted not. Everything that hit Donald Trump just made him meaner. And I love every last minute of it. Doesn't mean I believe Trump is flawless. I hated the big, beautiful bill. I hated the bombing of Iran. But most of what Trump does is great. And this is great right now. And I believe that the next one up is Bolton. And the next one after that's Letitia James. They're going to go down. He's not hesitating. The grand juries have all been impaneled. More of Comey, Gunther Eagleman video. This video is a good one. Trump is coming for the FBI. Play it for me.
Are you concerned that it may get a test unlike any other if Donald Trump is reelected? I mean, when you think about a second Trump administration, what do you think the implications would be for the FBI?
Oh, serious, for the Justice Department and the FBI, because Trump is coming for those institutions. He knows their power, and I think he has regrets that he didn't work hard enough to corrupt them last time. So he's coming for them, and that's a danger for all Americans. He's going to put people in positions in those organizations. He didn't have all-stars the last time. He'll have the bottom of the barrel this time, but people who will want to do his will, and that should worry every American. This election matters. Because of a reason like that, people have to participate. You cannot sit on the sideline. I don't care how you feel about Joe Biden, you must vote for him because the consequences on the other side are too severe.
See, now, if I was a corrupt sack of crap like he was, again, I just would move to a mountain somewhere and hope that nobody would discover me for the rest of my life, and I would just disappear. That's not what Comey does, because Comey really wants everyone to believe his portrait, that he is this model of integrity. He has to have it. He has a giant ego, so he has to have it constantly stroked, right? In books and everything. And he's saying that Trump, he calls President Trump corrupt. So corrupt Donald Trump is going to the virtuous FBI to try to overturn the virtuous FBI. The correct statement would be the non-corrupt Trump trying to expose the corrupt James Comey in the FBI. All the while, James Comey is claiming that Donald Trump is corrupt, knowing the entire time that every accusation coming from the Comey's FBI against Donald Trump is in fact fraudulent. Imagine being James Comey. Thank God to 2,300 people that are watching right now. Thank God every single day you're not like James Comey, who's going to burn in hell for all of eternity unless he turns from his sin. And here's how the media responded. This is how the media responded when Bannon was... When the DOJ, I guess, so whenever it's weaponized under the Democrats, it's not weaponized. But whenever it's weaponized under the Republicans, it is weaponized. So it's all righteous prosecutions whenever the DOJ is weaponized under Democratic administration. So Western Lensman video, this was Jake Tapper's narrative. This is about Bannon's, and I got to go over it. I can't resist it. What was Bannon found guilty of? Aaron, can you side by side give it context? So here's Jake Tapper's response back in November 2021, when everybody was, all the idiots were still wearing masks and just about to receive their COVID vaccinations. But anyway, Bannon's case, what was it? Well, Bannon did was refuse to respond to a subpoena to the J6 committee. Now, the J6 committee, and I know, I apologize, I really do, for those of you that watch the podcast all the time, you know where I'm going to go, and I'm going to try to keep this under 5 minutes. But the J6 committee was a J6 select committee. If it is a select committee, then you can lawfully issue subpoenas. Clear so far, right, Aaron?
Very.
So you stay with me the whole time. Yep. Let me know if I'm clear. So if you're select, you have the power to issue subpoenas, and if people don't issue those subpoenas, you're obstructing Congress, the same thing that James Comey has now been charged with.
Yep.
Now, the problem is that we wanted Jim Jordan and Jim Banks on that. Actually, it was Kevin McCarthy. He wanted Jim Jordan. And you know what? Good job, McCarthy, on this. Sometimes McCarthy got it right. McCarthy wanted two killers on there, Jim Jordan. And I'm not saying these people are flawless, but two killers on there, Jim Jordan, Jim Banks, on the select committee. In order for it to be select committee, that would entail the selection process of the minority leader. So the majority leader gets to pick their 5 members, and the minority leader gets to pick their 2 members. That all make sense so far, Aaron?
Yep.
Okay. So that would be a selection, right? That would be a select committee, therefore giving it power to subpoena. Now, what happened was Nancy Pelosi, Speaker of the House, said that suddenly that Kevin McCarthy doesn't have the power to select his own members, which, of course, is unconstitutional, fraudulent, and actually criminal. So she's decided that she's going to go with Adam Kinzinger and Liz Cheney and puts them on there at totally and completely in contradiction to the orders of the minority leader. So therefore making it a what committee?
Unselect
committee. Therefore, they do not have power to issue the subpoenas that Bannon blew off.
Yep.
So Bannon refused to obey a subpoena from a committee that can't issue subpoenas. And he was found guilty of obstructing Congress by a D.C. judge, D.C. jury, D.C. grand jury. And what's Tapper's response? Get ready, Brent. Play it for me.
Welcome to The Lead. I'm Jake Tapper, and we start, of course, with the breaking news. Former Trump advisor Steve Bannon has been indicted by a grand jury. An arrest warrant, we are told, will soon be signed by a judge. The indictment coming after Bannon refused a subpoena from the House Select Committee investigating the January 6th insurrection. Let's get straight to CNN's Jessica Schneider on the scene outside the courthouse. Jessica, what specifically has Steve Bannon been charged with?
Well, Jake, we now know that Steve Bannon has been charged with two counts of contempt of Congress, and the Department of Justice issuing a release saying that those two counts stem from his failure to appear for a deposition and also his failure to produce documents for the House Select Committee. So, yes, now Steve Bannon, who was former chief strategist at the White House, indicted on two counts of contempt of Congress, one for refusing to appear for deposition, one for failing to produce documents. And, of course, Jake, this will send a warning shot to the president's allies who have so far refused to cooperate or appear or may in the future refuse. This is a warning shot to them that the department.
So this is a warning shot that goes on for a couple minutes. You can watch the whole thing later. Again, it's on Western Lensman on Twitter. So where's all the warnings, Aaron? Where are all the warnings, Brent? Where are all the warnings, 2,300 people with me? Where are all the warnings that this is a threat to democracy? The DOJ has been weaponized against the former chief executive under the Trump administration. His chief advisor under the Trump administration has now been arrested. Isn't that weaponizing the DOJ by today's standards, according to the Democratic Party, according to all the talking heads, according to Jake Tapper himself now, this with Comey being indicted, not even arrested, but indicted, that's a threat to democracy. We've never seen anything like this before. How do you sit there behind a microphone and say we've never seen this before when you watched it over and over and over again as the Biden administration prosecuted former Trump officials and raided their homes? Giuliani raided, Mar-a-Lago raided, Veritas raided, Alex Jones bankrupted, Roger Stone arrested, Flynn arrested, Navarro arrested, Bannon arrested, Trump arrested, Jenna Ellis arrested. And then you sit behind a microphone. We've never seen this before. This weaponization has never happened before. So I guess, and again, they're just now you're going to get to eat your comeuppance here. Because you know what? Whatever you sow in the ground, you want to open up Pandora's box of prosecuting the former administration. You got it, baby. You got it. Congratulations. You got it. You got it. And by the way, everything that Comey's being prosecuted for is legitimate crimes. Everything that those people that I just named under the Trump administration, whether it's Flynn, Stone, Trump, Giuliani, Navarro, Bannon, could ever committed one crime, as you just saw right there, wasn't a select committee. You saw the charges. I won't get back into it. So here, now, Eric, you side by side this. This is Andrew Weissman. Everyone needs to know who these people are. Whether it's Reid Hoffman, you need to know who these people are. And this is one of these are the attorneys and the funders behind everything that you see. You don't ever see, a lot of people don't have any idea who someone like Andrew Weissman is. This is Robert Mueller's former pit bull for the collusion hoax, of which this idiot right here, this is a very effeminate man, you'll hear him talk. He talks exactly like this. Hi, my name is Andrew Weissman. This is just an affront to our democracy. That's how he talks. This was Mueller's pit bull we end up with a special prosecutor investigating a crime that never happened and that doesn't even exist, called collusion. There's no crime called collusion, and it never occurred anyway. And even if it did occur, it's not a crime. But yet we're going to dedicate 2 years, $40 million and 42 FBI agents to it. And this is the guy running the show and knew the entire time that it never happened. None of it ever happened. But yet he still runs it and then gathers more evidence as he's running this fraudulent investigation into a crime that never occurred and that doesn't exist, and then espouses the virtues of that investigation. That's how corrupt and nasty these people are. So here's Weissman on the Comey indictment. Play for me.
He is being treated no better or worse than anyone else. This is not selective prosecution, that this is not somebody who's singled out, that he is being treated just like anyone else. That is what it means to have a rule of law. That is what the Justice Department is really signaling and messaging here, is that everyone will be treated, as Merrick Garland has said, as, you know, equally in this country. This is really a great day for America.
This is such a horrendous moment for the rule of law, for the Department of Justice, for the country writ large, being singled out for impermissible reasons. And so just because you did your job, but just because you referred the president or you opened an investigation into the president, those are not legitimate reasons to have a sort of tit for tat vindictive prosecution. Mm-hmm. This looks like it. The emperor has no clothes. That this is the abuse that it appears to be.
Now, we've all come to the conclusion here. This is a poll that was there. Can you give me a pics of, because I got to rip on Andrew Weissman for a couple more minutes on the very fact that he is a receiver. So can you give me that back?
Okay,
or no? Yep. Just rewind. But anyway. So we all know, I mean, these guys here, I'm so tired of it. These effeminate males that are, you want to talk about threats to democracy. And by the way, we're not a democracy. We're a constitutional republic. But these effeminate males that accuse us of doing that which they do constantly, which is fraud and corruption. And they're just these effeminate guys behind the scenes. Effeminate guys. I mean, pretty much demonstrably homosexual. We all know what Weissman is. We all know that he's the receiver in some sort of gay relationship. We all know that. That is, in fact, and these are the people behind the scenes. Whether it's him, you know, whether it's Reid Hoffman, the various other people behind the scenes that are endlessly funding all. And by the way, they're having a lot of trouble with that funding now because the NGO money spigot has been shut off. But are endlessly funded by our government. And this guy doesn't exist outside of you and I paying for our own political persecution. All right, let's go on to the next one. Attorney General Ken Paxton. I just had to show you this now. Ken, in full disclosure, Ken Paxton is running against John Cornyn. But I have to show you this because this is what we're up against. Okay, this is because the main problem is not actually the Democrats. It's the Republicans inside of our party, because there's nothing worse than a saboteur. There's nothing being spoken of in Jude 3 and 4. There's only one chapter in Jude 3 and 4. So those who have secretly slipped in among you, those are the ones to be concerned about. Not so much that those that we know are our enemies, but people with R's in front of their names that are actually our enemies. This just shows you who John Cornyn really is. Play for me.
Mr. Comey, I'll repeat what I've said at previous hearings, that I believe you're a good and decent man who's been dealt a very difficult hand.
No, none of that's correct at all, Johnny boy. Johnny boy, who votes for red flag laws to take away our guns, as he sits behind walls in Secret Service protection, Texas Secret Service, or not Texas Secret Service, or it may not be Capitol Hill Police, whatever it is, but he has his security team around him constantly. Johnny Cornyn, that's who he is. I believe that you're a good and decent man. Really, he's a good and decent man who absolutely made up the entire collusion hoax, who lies and obstructs Congress. That's the good and decent man, Johnny. But Johnny's got to be on the record, because if Johnny doesn't say that about James Comey, he's not going to get invited to the uniparty parties. And Johnny's got to be invited to the uniparty parties, because if you're not invited to the uniparty parties, you're just not a good and decent person. And you're not reasonable. You know what I'm not? See, it's just, I mean, here are things. I don't fit in even with modern Christian culture, because I refuse to compromise at all. I'm again, never closed, never will. No vax, no mask, no social distancing, never closed. Not for one second. I refuse to acquiesce to that. And therefore, because I'm not reasonable, I'm not accepted in modern Christian culture. Listen, unless if you've never been banned off of social media, you're not saying things that need to be said. If you closed your church for COVID and you've never publicly repented, you're not in correct standing right now. I'm not saying you're going to hell, but you're not in correct standing. All right, let me move on. All right, let's go to another realm of the FBI here. Okay, now let's go to the J6 stuff that I talked about at the beginning of the show. Lives a TikTok tweet breaking: the FBI had 275 plainclothes agents embedded in the crowds on January 6th. Now, Aaron, you proofread my math here.
Okay.
So, I mean, we had January 6th of 21, correct?
Yeah.
All right, so now 21 to 25 is 4 years. So we are now 4 years and 9 months later, roughly.
Yep.
Okay. So let's just round it up to five. So here we are 5 years later. And in all those 5 years, you know that I'm getting really serious. My voice goes, all those years.
Four score.
I'm getting to sound like I'm a receiver. But anyway, so.
No.
I just want to promise everybody out there watching the Tom Lively podcast right now that I'm certainly not a receiver.
He's not gay.
I'm just not gay. I promise I'm not gay.
He has kids.
I have lots of non-gay friends. Really, I do.
I swear
to everybody out there. But anyway. So this is 5 years later. It takes 5 years for us to find out how many people are in the crowd, how many FBI agents are in the crowd.
Apparently.
And the only reason why we did is because Cash Patel did it. And like, Tom, you've ripped on Cash Patel. Yeah, but I'm an honest man. If Cash Patel pulls up on that rudder and starts to fly high, I'm going to acknowledge it.
Yeah.
Same thing we do with Trump. Hated the big, beautiful bill. Hated the bombing of Iran. Love the border. Love the economy. Love that he did limit the Iran bombing to a half an hour. I mean, listen, he does other great. Love the indictment of James Comey. I love the weaponization of the DOJ, even though it's not being weaponized. Didn't like that the FCC person came out and said that, you know what, if Kimmel doesn't stop saying we're going to have to amp it up a couple. Now, I don't like that part because you don't want the government to pull them off. You want private entities to pull them off. So, I mean, again, but if Trump 90% of the time does great work, 10% is rough, but 90% is great. He's still the greatest president of my lifetime, greatest president in history if he lowers the debt. So, but it takes us 5 years to, is it really 10:05?
Yeah.
Speaking of five. 10:05. I thought it was 9, like 9:40. Holy moly. Brent, what did you do, man? It's Brent's fault. But anyway, then you know what? No Steak and Shake for him tonight. That's it. He's banned. He's banned for Steak and Shake.
You made the show too long.
I didn't know it was 10:05. It's Brent's fault. But anyway.
Too long.
But anyway, so it takes us 5 years to find that out. I mean, it's the government we live in, folks. 5 years, we can't find out. And the only reason why we did is that Cash Patel found the documentation and then released it. Praise God for Cash Patel. FBI had 275 plainclothes agents, not assets, agents. Now, how many assets were controlled by those 275? Can you imagine that, Aaron?
Right.
How many? 8, 9, 10 each? 15 each? 25 each? I mean, we know that they were embedded in the Proud Boys. They were embedded with Oath Keepers and numerous other ones, right?
Yep.
Ray Epps is one of them. We all know that. Either Ray Epps was either an FBI asset or he's a State Department asset, DHS asset, one of the three. We all know that. But it takes 5 years to find this out. And Ray Epps is the only one on video actually instigating violence and instigating a capital invasion, and he gets charged with a misdemeanor. And everybody else is languishing in prison for unlawful parading. But anyway, 275 plainclothes agents embedded in January 6th crowds, congressional source says. All right, go to the next one for me. Real America's Voice, 275 agents at J6. Again, John Solomon, play for me.
Yeah. Well, first, let me just say something about the culture of the FBI. For 35 years, I've covered it here in Washington. And in every controversy of the past, it has a history of covering things up. The FBI lab scandal, 9/11, Oklahoma City, all stories that I broke, Russia collusion. And over the years, I have spent most of my time trying to tell the American people what the FBI did in spite of the FBI not cooperating. Under Cash Patel, he has broken that cycle. He is now putting out the evidence that allowed prosecutors to seek that indictment against James Comey. That is unlike anything I've seen in my 35 years covering the FBI. And unlike that, he's sending to Congress the documents that prior directors and their teams kept from Congress. And today, we were able to get our hands on one of those documents. And what it shows is it answers the question that Chris Wray would never answer to Congress when he was asked. He would not tell how many agents were sent to the Capitol once the violence started there and the riot began. We got that answer because they did an after-action report of the FBI. Cash Patel recently found that after-action report, and it is damning. There were 275 FBI agents, most in plain clothes, without any riot gear or protection, dispatched to the Capitol that day. The reason there was an after-action review is that a lot of those agents felt like they were put in harm's way. They didn't have gear. They didn't have a way to identify themselves to the Capitol Police that they were cops. If they had to draw their gun, they could have had a friendly fire incident. And so that's an important fact. It's something that Congress needed for oversight, and Chris Wray's FBI kept it from it. But the more important issue long term. So all my colleagues in the FBI who have tried to dispute that the FBI has a political bias problem, this episode, this review, ended up exposing more than the fact that an incompetent FBI sent a lot of FBI agents to the Hill without gear and protections, and then didn't want to admit that to Congress. It uncorked a decade of frustration among scores of FBI agents in the Washington field office that their agency had become clearly politically biased. Those aren't my words. Those are their words. The after-action review resulted in hundreds of statements by FBI agents saying our agency is a mess. It is a joke. It treats conservatives different than liberals. It is woke. It is more concerned about what face mask you wear than what criminal you catch. It uncorked something, and that, for that reason, Congress was most likely not given this document, because it would have affirmed what Jim Jordan and what Devin Nunes and what Barry Loudermilk and all the people who've been investigating have been saying. The FBI has a political bias problem. Chris Wray was asked this question. Like, no, that's a political talking point. He would have known at the moment he gave that answer in 2023 that this after-action report raised a serious amount of concern. If he didn't know, he wasn't in charge of his agency, because this was a very important.
All right, so we get it revealed by Cash Patel. It's all been revealed now. This is just fantastic news. Not only did we find out 5 freaking years later, we should have found out 5 minutes later, that there were 275 FBI agents in the crowd controlling multiple assets in the crowd. That's all a fact, by the way. So there's probably 2,000 FBI assets in the crowd. And I mean all government DOJ assets, including DHS assets, State Department assets, NGOs controlled by those various governmental agencies, assets in the crowd. Thousands of assets in the crowd, stirring up all the trouble. We've seen all the videos. We know how it is. You got the person in the videos, all the black garb on. It's what Antifa wears, black, whatever. But anyway, blackout gear.
Yeah.
Tearing down the windows into the Capitol. Nobody knows who this guy is. He looks jacked. He doesn't look like some root of the mill guy. He's probably an FBI agent or a DHS agent or a State Department agent, whatever it may be, or a member of one of the NGOs that are supported by this. There's just thousands of assets in the crowd. But one of the great, great other findings of this data release is that a lot of these 275 agents sent with the FBI and complained that they were political pawns. Aaron, why wasn't that testified to by Christopher Wray?
I
thought Christopher Wray said that the FBI, they're the highest morale ever, having all these people sign up to be agents. What about the 200 guys that went and complained that they were, quote, political pawns, and they were sent up there with no riot gear and no protection? But they're political pawns. And I mean, I can't say there's 200 people, but a numerous amount of these FBI agents complained that they felt like they were political pawns. I wonder why they felt like they were political pawns, because they were political pawns. And they discovered once they got up there, they probably wanted to get it on the record. They discovered once they were up there that, you know what, we're up here instigating violence right now. Our assets are instigating violence. Nobody's telling us not to have them instigate violence. And a couple of their other buddy FBI agents who didn't come in and complain that they were political pawns, because they're very happy to be political pawns, were in fact instigating felonious crimes on Capitol Hill that day. Right? Oh, Aaron, you're the man. Tell me right there. That's not a Fed. That's not a Fed. He walks like a Fed, talks like a Fed, acts like a Fed, has a haircut like a Fed. Look at the guy. Look, who gets all that gear? Who gets all that gear? Look at he's got a radio on. He's got an earpiece on. Yeah. That's not a Fed? Please.
And trying to instigate a fight, too, with people who aren't Feds.
Yeah, the guy was trying to stop him from tearing this window open. But he's got to instigate the crime. I'm telling you, it's a complete and total Fed's erection. Complete and total. Now it's been revealed. And all of these people need to go to federal prison for the rest of their life. All right, let's go to the next one. Real Robert video. Here is former FBI Director Christopher Wray perjuring himself. Play it for him.
Who were there in an undercover capacity on January 6th? How many were there?
Again, I'm not sure that I can give you that number as I sit here. I'm not sure there were undercover agents on scene.
I find that kind of a remarkable statement, Director. At this point, you don't know whether there were undercover federal agents, FBI agents in the crowd or in the Capitol on January 6th?
I say that because I want to be very careful. There have been a number of court filings related to some of these topics, and I want to make sure that I stick within what's in...
I understand that, but I just... I thought I heard you say you didn't know whether there were FBI agents or informants or human sources in the Capitol or in the vicinity on January 6th. Did I misunderstand you? I thought that's what you said.
Well, I referred very specifically to undercover agents.
Yeah. And so are you acknowledging then there were undercover agents?
As I sit here right now, I do not believe there were undercover agents on scene.
There we go. There is numerous lies right there. The last one was a lie. As we sit right now, and now remember, this was years later. This is a minimum of 2022, so years later. He just said, that to his knowledge, there were no undercover FBI agents, 275. He doesn't know. 275 is a substantial dispatch. Would we all agree?
Yeah.
Okay. He doesn't know that there's 275 agents. By the way, he didn't say he didn't know. He said there wasn't. And he also said that he didn't know. So both of those are lies. Christopher, that's well within the statute of limitations, the 5-year congressional perjury statute of limitations. He needs to be brought in, tried, and convicted for all of his lies. Right there, those are bold-faced lies. 207. And by the way, he saw the very thing that Cash Patel has released, revealing that there's 275 undercover agents on J6 on Capitol grounds. That and their complaints that they felt like political pawns. That's all on FBI memos. So he read all those memos. He knows it. And both of those. I don't know. As I sit here right now, I don't know if there were any FBI agents on Capitol. There's 275 agents there. Not assets, agents. And he just said, as we sit here right now, I don't know if we even had one single FBI agent there. Bold-faced lie. And at the end, he says, to my knowledge, we didn't have any. Two bold-faced lies. Those are perjurious lies. Two counts of felonious perjury to Congress. Right there. He needs to be prosecuted and spend a substantial amount of time in federal prison. At Chicago Runway video, here's Clay Higgins all over Christopher Wray. Play for him.
He said he was communicating with his FBI handler while people were entering the U.S. Capitol. Can you confirm that the FBI had that sort of engagement with your own agents embedded within the crowd on January 6th?
If you are asking whether the violence at the Capitol on January 6th was part of some operation orchestrated by FBI sources and or agents, the answer is emphatically
you're saying
not.
No. You're saying no.
Not
okay.
Violence orchestrated by FBI sources or agents.
Are you familiar with you know what a ghost vehicle is? Director of the FBI certainly should. You know what a ghost bus is?
A ghost bus?
Ghost bus.
I'm not sure I've used that term before.
Okay. It's pretty common in law enforcement. It's a vehicle that's used for secret purposes. It's painted over. These two buses in the middle here, they were the first to arrive at Union Station on January 6th, 0500. I have all this evidence. I'm showing you a tip of this iceberg.
Mr. Chairman.
These two buses
are
painted completely white.
Point of order.
Point of order. Sure.
Just run over the time.
I understand, but you'll recall that Ms. Jackson Lee's been allowed to go 2 minutes before. I've been very fair in letting people finish their questioning throughout my tenure as chairman, and I'll continue to be fair on that regard. But I will make a note to the members, if you could stay as close within your time as possible, we have a lot of people that want to ask these gentlemen questions. So with that, the gentleman yields. But your point, I've been very fair in this, Mr. Ivey, with everybody on this side of the aisle just as much.
I don't think I accuse you of being unfair, Mr. Chairman.
You're making a point. Okay, thank you. I now recognize Mr.
May I close this statement, Mr. Chairman?
No, I think your time is expired, Mr.
I note that other members across the aisle have been granted time, and I object.
I forgot to send it into that crap. But anyway, so there you had it. Christopher Wray, complete denial of the assets that were then bussed in under the 275 agents that were there. So they bussed in assets for those 275 to control. Very simple. There's thousands of FBI and governmental assets instigating J6 on January 6th of 2021. All right, got to cover this before we go, even though it's 10:18. Put that up for me. AF Post. The UK will mandate government-issued digital IDs for every working adult in Britain. So there we go. I'm, you know what? And this pretty much told me what I'm going to preach about this Sunday.
Yeah.
This pretty much, because here it is in a Five Eyes country, a nuclear power, one of the preeminent economies on the planet, UK, former, British Empire. If you want to work there now, you will have to have a digital QR-coded Mark of the Beast on your phone. First of all, you'll have to own a phone, and then you will have to have a digital ID. Now, the interesting thing, of course, about digital IDs is somebody is at the controls of that digital ID and can be turned off anytime. It's not like having your driver's license where you have to lose it or you have to burn it yourself. Now they can lose it and they can burn it, disabling you from being able to participate in the economy. What have I been saying on this podcast for the last 5 years and 15 days to flatten the curve? It is all about, right out of Revelation 13 and 14, leveraging you into a one-world commerce system controlled by the globalist left. There, with one single access point, leveraging you into a one-world commerce system with a single access point controlled by the globalist left. Here it is. Once you are mandated to have their ID and their digital wallet that will include your passport, your medical records, your credit cards, your bank information, your bank accounts, which will eventually be all digital, digital money, which you don't want. You don't want to go cashless. Read the book of Revelation. So now this is being ushered in. Canada will be the next to fall. Australia will be the next to fall. New Zealand will be the next to fall. EU will be the next to fall. You and I as Christians, you want to hear me preach about this, tune in on Sunday. We cannot be bystanders in this spiritual warfare. We must demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. Bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when our obedience is fulfilled, all out of 2 Corinthians chapter 10, 3 through 6. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. That's 2 Corinthians 10, 3 and 4. So this is something I'm not talking about physical fighting, not talking about AR-15s. I'm talking about spiritual warfare. You had better start praying now. Go to the next one for me. I want you to hear, this is from Nayib Bukele, the president of El Salvador. Get that, Aaron. Aaron and I love this guy. He carries an anointing on him.
Yeah.
I don't know where he stands with the Lord, but the man carries an anointing on him. And this is what he put out. Aaron, side by side this. Just put that. Don't run the video. This is about Keir Starmer. This is the video that he put out, Nayib Bukele. He causes all, both small and great. He put this out. He's quoting Revelation 13, 16 and 17. He causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their forehead, and that no one may buy or sell except someone who has the mark of the name of the beast or the number of his name. Look what he's talking about. Look what he's talking about. The man carries an anointing upon him. All right, play that video for me.
And that is why today I am announcing this government will make a new free of charge digital ID mandatory for the right to work by the end of this parliament. Let me spell that out. You will not be able to work in the United Kingdom if you do not have digital ID. It's as simple as that. Because decent, pragmatic, fair-minded people, they want us to tackle the issues that they see around them. And of course, the truth is, we won't solve our problems if we don't also take on the root causes, looking upstream to tackle poverty, conflict.
How would this tackle poverty? How does digital ID tackle poverty? How does it make you safer to have digital ID? It's all lies. It's all absolute lies. It is all control. It's putting the government's hands at the spigot of everything in your life, where you live, your ability to pay for anything, your ability to fuel up your car, your ability to go to the dentist. It's all right there. It's all a digital system that can be shut down. And if you don't collaborate and cooperate, they will shut it down. You buy a Winchester, shut down. You vote for Trump, shut down. You're like, Tom, this is in the UK, not the United States. Okay. Right now in the European Union, they are now censoring all speech and they're calling it the democracy shield. So they're banning speech in the name of democracy, of protecting democracy. What did Gavin Newsom just pass? Same thing. It'll all, listen, California, as much as I hate to say this because it is my state of birth, is the anus of the United States. And we get all the European suppositories going up that anus. Sorry, Brent. That make Brent laugh. That's what we get. We get the European Ursula von der Leyen suppositories up the anal cavity of California every time. So it will come our way. And will the American church finally stand? Will the American church finally stand? Maybe that's going to be the next big trial, because we certainly, not this church, Foundation Church stood, always stand, never closed, never will. Always stood, always will. Never closed, never will. Never masked, never will. Never vaxxed, never will. Never stood 6 feet apart, never will. Never put out alcohol gel stations, never will. Never made everybody stand in COVID clubs, never will. Never had masks on our faces that are no longer a slave to fear and cut slits in them so they can play their trumpets, never will. And you better have that stand now. You better have it, because there, right there, the Rubicon has been crossed. It's been crossed. You now have a major government demanding that you have a digital QR code and Mark of the Beast on your phone. It's not the Mark of the Beast. These are all precursors. Like I said, the mask is a precursor. The vaccine was a precursor. The vaccine mandate's a precursor. CBDCs are a precursor. And now this is a precursor to the Mark of the Beast, because eventually that QR code will be moved off of your phone onto your right hand or onto your forehead. Again, Aaron, but don't worry.
No.
It's for convenience.
Of course.
And voluntary. But yeah, you just can't participate. You can't participate in the economy. See, that's exactly it. I don't mean to go so long tonight. But here's the problem. In Australia, their digital ID system, don't worry, Aaron, is voluntary.
Of course.
Now, this one here, I mean, they've gone ahead, you know, right out of like Christmas Story, double dog dare, triple dog dare. they didn't even bother to try to put out the illusion of being voluntary. They just hopped right to involuntary. If you want to work in the UK, so if you don't work, what don't you do? Eat.
Yep.
So if you want to work, you will have their government digital ID on your phone. You will not get on a bus without it. You will not qualify to work for it. You don't qualify for Social Security. You don't qualify for squat. All right. You don't vote right. You know, lo and behold, we made a mistake and your whole account shut down for the next 3 months.
Oh, oops.
Oh, whoopsie daisy. You won't be able to work, won't be able to eat, won't be able to gas up your car. No problem whatsoever. And by the way, get back to your 1,000 square foot coffin in your 15 minute city, of which you can't exit or enter without your digital ID. Mm. It's already fully, completely established in China, the largest country on the planet. But in Australia right now, they say it's voluntary. Until everything, you don't have to have a digital ID. It's just for convenience, they want to keep you safe, because then you have to have a digital ID to get online. We're going to keep you safe, keep the kids safe via ID, you know, verification online. Sounds great. For when they shall say, right out of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, for when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye brethren are not in darkness that day should overtake you as a thief. You need to be able to see this stuff. That's 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 3 and 4. You need to be able to see this. You need to be able to see that this day does not overtake you as a thief. It's not over. All we got to do is resist. Spiritually, sick God on them. Sick the Holy Ghost on them. That's what you do. Prayer warriors, that's what you do. Spiritual warfare, that's what you do. Right out of Ephesians chapter 6, 10 through 18. Right out of 2 Corinthians chapter 10, 3 through 6, spiritual warfare. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. That's what you're called to. So in Australia, they just say, you know what, it's voluntary right now, you know, until every business requires that you have that very digital ID that is voluntary, just like the vaccines were voluntary in the United States until you had to have them to go into a grocery store or to qualify for any government work or to work for a government contractor. It was all voluntary until then.
Yeah.
But it's all about leveraging you into a one world commerce system with a single access point controlled by child molesting types like Keir Starmer. He may not have molested kids himself, but he enabled it. The rapes of thousands of UK women by inbred, low IQ Pakistanis. Go to the next one for me. And all the while, you're going to hear these lies from the people at the spigot, Palantir. People like that. Peter Thiel, who will control this digital ID technology. But don't worry, Aaron. It's voluntary.
Of course.
And they'll lie about it. I see. It's like they say, we're doing this for your peace and safety. No, they're doing it to strangulate your freedom. In case you missed it, Peter Thiel says, disclosed TV tweet, that fearing or regulating AI or opposing its progress would hasten the coming of the Antichrist. So it's exactly the opposite. Resisting AI will slow the coming of the Antichrist, because AI is the digital ID. So just lies. It's what they always do, Goran.
Yeah, somebody under that commented and said, sounds like something the Antichrist would say.
Yeah, they're right. Yeah. The Antichrist will tell you how to slow his coming by telling you, really, he'll say that slowing, whatever he espouses will slow his coming, will speed up his coming. And these are the people who are creating that digital ID system, Palantir. People who are behind that. Rumble Rants tonight, Charlie 340, $50. One of my favorite names, Urinator, $11.21, $50. Alligator Alcatraz, $20. My friend from church, Jules 21 Hours, $20. Thank you guys so much. Appreciate each and every one of you. If you want to hear more about what I was just talking about, I'll be preaching about it this Sunday at Foundation Church, 13,000 South Tamiami Trail, Northport, Florida. Join us in person if you can. If not, join us online. If you just have crappy churches in your area, by the way, is most areas, then don't go to the crappy church just so you can go somewhere in person. Join us online. You're better being a part of a real church online than a fake church in person. So join us this Sunday at 10 a.m. Love you guys. Listen, you guys stick around for the post game. It's awesome. If I don't see you at church this Sunday at 10 a.m., I'll see you at 9 o'clock p.m. Monday night. Love you guys. Have a great weekend. Don't worry about this Mark of the Beast stuff. Simply wage spiritual war against it, and we will win. We'll win. Love you guys. If I don't see you at 10 o'clock Sunday morning, I'll see you at 9 o'clock Monday night. God bless each and every one of you.